Let's open our Bibles now to read from Luke chapter 14. And as you're turning to Luke 14, let's hear again these words we just sang together. Since I must fight if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And it's this call for a courage and faithfulness as we are engaged as members of the militant church that we're going to be reading about from Luke chapter 14. Continuing our series in the beloved physician's account of Christ, all that Christ began to do during his earthly ministry. Luke chapter 14, we will read verses 25. We'll read to the end of the chapter, but our text ends in verse 33. So Luke 14, that's found on page 1012. Luke 14, starting at verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose the king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any one of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but it loses its saltiness. If it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that's as far as we're reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we begin our sermon this morning with an important question. The question is this: how much does it cost to become a Christian? What is the cost to become a Christian? Now, at first, when you hear that question, your answer might be something like this: well, it costs nothing. Salvation is free. It's of grace. Christ has done everything. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And you are absolutely right. There is nothing you can do in order to purchase your salvation. But I ask the question again, what will it cost you to become a Christian? What is the cost? Well, that answer is a little bit more complicated. Because although salvation is free, graciously received, a work that Christ earns and purchases for us completely from beginning to end, the fact is also true: becoming a Christian will cost you everything. It will cost you everything. Christ says it this way: if you want to gain your life, you need to lose it. You need to give up everything. Becoming a Christian means that your life is no longer your own. You are not your own master. You are not the commander of your own ship. You belong body and soul in life and in death to a faithful Savior. You have been purchased, ransomed, and redeemed. Everything that you have is no longer your own, but belongs to your Lord. Becoming a Christian costs you everything. In Jesus' ministry, as our text opens in verse 25, at this point in his ministry, large crowds were following, as verse 25 says. These huge groups are pressing in upon him. And our text today tests the heart and dedication of those would-be disciples. Jesus turns to them and says, do you really want to follow me? Do you know what the cost will be? Well, when Jesus is popular, when he is culturally acceptable, it is easy for everyone to say, yes, I'm a Christian. We can think of times throughout history, two examples. One, the first one during the reign of Constantine after the Edict of Milan, becoming Christian became the popular thing to do. Or even during the early days of our own country, in one state, in the state of Delaware, if you wanted to vote, you had to be a professing Christian, a member of a church. Well, when there are civic or social benefits, when Christianity becomes the popular thing to do, the number of those who are members within a local church usually increases. But would you join a church knowing that it meant losing everything? Well, today we look at this theme. Jesus Christ warns his followers to count. He warns them, you need to count the cost, because membership is costly. Now, as you look at Luke chapter 14 as a whole, Jesus has some startling and extreme words for us, doesn't he? Earlier on, Jesus said, you need to humble yourselves. You need to don't exalt yourself. Don't seek the places of honor. Don't seek the positions of recognition. Show kindness at great cost to yourself. Be overly generous to the needy and honor others before yourself. Well, the kingdom of heaven is not like the kingdom of men. Jesus' ways are not our ways. His mind is not like our human mind. This really is a continuation of what we began to see with a Christian's message from Matthew chapter 8, where those who are called to follow Christ are called to radical obedience that is very costly. Jesus says to the crowds, if you want to follow me, you need to consider very carefully the cost. Count the cost. Are you willing to pay? Are you willing to offer everything? Do not follow me if you want an easy life. Do not become a Christian if you are looking for health, prosperity, and riches. Don't become a Christian if you are expecting becoming a Christian to make your life easy. Count the cost. Well, today we start in our first point by this consideration of the discipleship, what it means to follow Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And remember that Jesus is not here, he's not trying to discourage his own disciples from following him. He's not trying to convince people to stop following him, but rather he is warning them against the popular surge in what would be social followers. We know that as we look a little bit further ahead in chapter 15, verse 1, that Jesus is ready to receive heartfelt disciples. Tax collectors and sinners were gathering around him, and Jesus is not casting them away. But Jesus is warning these social followers, those who thought they could go along with the crowd and benefit from the ministry of Jesus Christ with little cost to their personal life. What was happening is that the church in that day and age, or the followers of Jesus Christ, was being turned into a social club. We get together to have fun. We get together to be healed. We get together to have a free meal. It's an elite group of those who were privileged. But Jesus begins in verse 26 by saying to this crowd that is following him, count the cost. Consider how much it will affect your life. And the first area where your life will be directly affected is the closest family units. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you need to be willing to hate, verse 26 says, father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. If you follow me, you need to be willing to hate every member of your closest familial bond. Now, here in this particular context, the word hate is miseo, which means to hate or to love less in comparison to something else. If you are choosing to follow Jesus Christ, choosing to become one with him and with his people, you are, by that very choice, making a distinction. Where is your first devotion? You are, by becoming a Christian, stating that you are willing to forsake every member of your family. Father, mother, brother, sister, child. Willing to do whatever is necessary to follow Christ as your supreme Lord. Even think of Abraham. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only beloved son because the Lord commanded him to do it. So Jesus begins with this opening, challenging call. Who do you love more? If you need to choose between loving father or mother, obeying father or mother, loving your children or brothers or sisters, if you need to choose between that whole group of family and loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, Jesus says you cannot have both. You cannot have both. And that's exactly what happens in many Muslim circles today, isn't it? In those countries under the Sharia law, if you become a Christian, you are radically choosing to put yourself at odds with every member of your family. Knowing that if you, as a young girl, becomes a Christian, it's very likely your father will beat you, if not take your life. This is the kind of radical call that Jesus is here setting before us. Jesus says you need to count the cost, and even if that means burning bridges with your biological family, you need to choose obedience to me above your family, else you are not worthy of me and you cannot rightly call yourself a disciple. Thankfully, many of us who have been raised in Christian families do not need to choose between obedience to our parents and obedience to our Heavenly Father. But just one pressing application I can speak to our young adults. If you have to choose between a dating relationship with someone whom your heart is knit to, someone who in your mind you would say you love, if you need to choose between continuing this dating relationship and obedience to the Lord who says you are not to be unequally yoked, you are not to wed an unbeliever, who wins? Where is your heart? To whom will you obey? Choosing God over every earthly relationship, it's an absolute obedience that applies to every human relationship, not only out there. I think of Christian's illustration with his family last week, right? If your parents would forbid you to go to church and worship the Lord, as the apostles would say, we must obey God and not men. But it not only applies out there, Jesus says in verse 26, it even applies here to your own self. To your own natural inclination to self-love, your own psyche, your own personal well-being. Becoming a Christian means that you are willing to put your own life in danger if that means following the Lord with full obedience. Think, for example, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. Obedience to the Lord literally put their life in danger. In a present day and age, an example in China and other countries. They need to count the cost. If you claim the name of Christ, you might just be imprisoned, beaten, or lose your own life. My flesh, this body, cast into prison or tortured, because I'm following someone else. My life is not my own. Then Jesus ends by saying, in verse 33, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything, give up everything he has, cannot mean my disciple, cannot be called my follower. Your personal finances, your use of your money, what you do on vacation, what you watch on TV, every aspect of your life falls under the supreme lordship of Jesus Christ. If you in your life are looking at it in different compartments, that this part belongs to the Lord and this part really has no influence, that Christ doesn't really have anything to say about what I do here and now, then Jesus is saying to you, you can't call yourself my disciple. I mean, these are strong words. You cannot call yourself my disciple if you love your parents more than me. Or parents, you cannot call yourself my disciple if you love your children more than me. Young people, you cannot call yourself my disciple if you love your weekends, whatever you do, more than me. This is strong words. Is Christ truly more precious, more lovely? Is he altogether your highest pursuit, having your complete obedience? Now, to be sure, Jesus is not saying once you become a Christian, you need to become a monk, take on the monastic life, and have no earthly connections and don't take care of your earthly family. Jesus himself took care of his earthly mother. 1 Timothy 5 says that if you don't take care of members of your own household, you're worse than an unbeliever. All those things are true, but that does not soften the blow of this sharp sword. Because sometimes the line of differentiation, the line of conflict, sometimes falls in your own house. Jesus said in Matthew 10, don't think I came to bring peace. I did not come to bring peace to your house. I did not come to bring peace between mothers and fathers and their children. That's not why I came. I came to bring the sword. I came to bring hostility and friction. It's going to be seen in the home. It's going to be seen in what you do with your life and what you do with your times. Not to be abundantly clear, Jesus is not saying that we need to suffer in order to earn our salvation. We looked at this with our men's Bible study yesterday. Christ's suffering is complete. His blood for atonement has taken our place. It's completely paid. It's once for all fully done. We don't need to suffer in order to gain something, in order to purchase our salvation. But Jesus is saying, if you are following me, this is what you should expect. If they hated me, they will hate my disciples. Are you willing to count this cost? Are you willing to make this kind of payment with your life? Losing your family. Losing your health. Losing your financial security. All for the sake of claiming the name of Jesus Christ. Now, before we finish our first point, you might be left asking the question, why would anyone choose this? Why would anyone, knowing how expensive it is, how great a cost is necessary, why would anyone do that? Think of what we read earlier in Matthew 19, where Jesus said to his disciples, first said to Jesus, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. We've left our family, we've left our business. Our lives are constantly in danger. We've left everything to follow you. And what does Jesus say? To everyone who leaves father or mother, house or land, because of me, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Although it may be in this life necessary for God's, for the children of God, for the disciples of Jesus Christ, to forsake, to deny, to reject whatever in this world might come, we can rest assured that Jesus Christ will return it with interest in the life to come. Whoever forsakes house will get a heavenly mansion. Whoever forsakes father or mother or children in order to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength will get a heavenly family. And whoever forsakes the earthly finances and sacrifices them in order to faithfully follow Jesus Christ will receive crowns and riches and an inheritance that will never perish and is undefiled. So Jesus starts by asking us today, are you willing to make this kind of sacrifice? Are you willing to count the cost? Do you know what it means, what you are saying when you call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? This is the kind of absolute obedience that Jesus demands. Count the cost. Do you think it's worth it? Do you think it's worth it? What happened in Jesus' ministry when the tide started turning against him and he started teaching difficult truths like, I'm the bread of life, you need to eat me. What happens to the crowds? They're gone. They vanish. Jesus, I didn't sign on for this. I did not sign on for hostility and loss of finances. That, I'm not willing to make that kind of sacrifice. Then Jesus turns to his disciples and says, what about you guys? What about you? Are you going to leave me too? Because it's too costly? Remember what the disciples said? Where else can we go? You have the words of life. You are the author of life. Your blood is so precious that even if I need to lose everything, think of Job. He literally lost everything. And Job said, I'm not going to curse the Lord. The Lord gave and he took away. He is sovereign and supreme, yet blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what it means to be a disciple. It's not fickle. It's steadfast. Are you willing to forsake family and friends to lose your life, knowing in the end you will gain it? Giving up or setting aside the things that entangle and ensnare in order to pursue the radical life of holiness. That's what Jesus calls us to. Well, as we continue very briefly, Jesus gives us two parables to help illustrate what it means to count the cost. Jesus is looking for true worshipers, faithful followers who are committed to him that will not only begin but end their lives in faithful obedience. And these twin parables, Jesus is going to tell us, he's going to illustrate to us what it looks like to count the cost at the beginning, but also to be dedicated to persevering in the calling which we have received. Can you afford not to be a disciple? Do you know what it costs to claim something and then give up something? Jesus is warning in these parables against a hasty decision and a half-hearted dedication. You cannot jump on this train when it starts and then jump off when it's full speed without great peril and loss to yourself. The first parable given in verse 28 is a parable of construction. Suppose someone wants to build a tower. Let's say you want to build a house. You dig the foundation, you set the footing, and then you run out of money, you run out of cash. And every time someone drives by that building, they see that hole with a foundation sitting there, and they shake their heads. What happened to this guy? What happened to this guy that began his life in the pursuit of the Christian faith? And then when the going got hard, they gave up. I remember seeing a cement pad sit vacant for years. And every time I passed by that cement pad, I asked myself the question, what happened there? Did they lose focus? Did they lose dedication? Did they run out of finances? Would you set a new foundation? without having the financial means to put the roof on the end. In a similar way, we are warned against starting the Christian life without the dedication and commitment to see it completed. To be dedicated to the means Jesus Christ has given to us to foster the person. We believe in the perseverance of the saints. But we also believe that Jesus uses means to persevere his saints. If you have begun the task, if you have begun the construction project, if you have made the call and the claim to become, to be named among the name of the Christian, then you have to have an equally motivated dedication to pursuing the means of perseverance. If you want to finish well, then you need to dedicate yourself to running and fighting and striving. You need to use the means that Jesus gives us to finish the project. Jesus gives us his word. So if we want to finish the project of growing in the Christian life, then we need to be dedicated to the word, scripture reading. If devotion means that we are praying and we're offering our tithes and offerings and giving ourselves to the Lord. These are the means that Christ has given to us to foster years of growth in the midst of temptation and trial. So when you make the decision to become a Christian, know that included in that decision and that calling, claiming the name of Christ, is a commitment to years of devotion to the pursuit of holiness. The second parable in verse 31 might be a little bit more abnormal for us. This king that's going to war. Jesus says if you're going to battle, you need to weigh the best tactic for peace. In other words, don't engage in a battle unless you have a successful plan of winning the battle. Jesus, basically the theme is the same here. They're teaching that you must have the end in view and a dedication to receiving, to working, to pursuing the means to reach that end. So if you want to build a tower, if you want to build a house, if you want to fight, engage in battle, then you need to have the means in order to do that which you desire to do. To say this in another way, the Christian life is easy to call yourself. It's easy to call yourself a Christian. It's easy to stand up in front of the church and to say, yes, I do. It's really easy to do that. We could compare it to a marriage. It's really easy to get married. Stand up, take your vows. You did it. But you haven't arrived. You've just started. Profession of faith is just the beginning of a journey. Are you dedicated to pursuing the means that Christ gives us, the means for maturity and devotion and dedication? In fact, that's one of the things that I challenge those who are taking a new members course or pre-profession of faith class. I said, you have to recognize that this is not the end of the journey. This is just the first step. You need to be devoted to using the means that Christ gives us so that you grow, so that you remain in the perseverance that Christ is performing within us. The rocks and thorns will come. If you're not dedicated to pulling out those thorns, then they will choke your Christian life. So what kind of follower are you? Trials have a way of separating the wheat from the chaff. Jesus is a wonderful Savior, and the riches He promises are worth a life of devotion. But Jesus says, count the cost. The theme really is found repeatedly. It's in verse 26, 27, and again in 33. If you don't count the cost, you're not worthy of me. If you don't really know how much this calling yourself a Christian demands, then don't call yourself a Christian. If you're not willing for this kind of devotion, then you're not you might be a nominal Christian. You might be a social Christian, You might enjoy the external benefits of being in a covenant context. But if this is not your heartfelt devotion, then Jesus says, you're not worthy of me. And you're not a true disciple. This calls for a comparative denial of everything in order to embrace what is true, what is good, what is perfect, and what is lasting. To consider everything as rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. The disciples in Luke 5 left everything to follow him. Becoming a Christian is costly. It may cost you conflict in your earthly family. It may cost you security and financial independence. It may even cost you your earthly life. But to call yourself a Christian is to call Christ your Lord. And to be your Lord means that he has purchased you and you belong to him. Jesus is not interested in the superficial mass that follows him. True Christianity, discipleship, is never a culturally popular thing to do. Who by nature will deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Christ? That doesn't happen. It's only those who are born again. Christ says in verse 35, if you have ears to listen, you'll hear. My sheep hear my voice, and they'll come. These little ones that Jesus called, he calls them his children. He warns them of the necessity to give up all in order to follow him. So I ask you one more time, what does it cost to become a Christian? What will it cost you? It will cost you everything because you don't belong to yourself anymore. The guilty pleasures and earthly pursuits suddenly take a back seat as Christ becomes your all. Jesus wants us to follow him, and he wants us to be consistent, to follow him through the trials, through the pain. Every spiritual pursuit is hard. It takes work. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's compared to a battle that you need to train for. It's a race that you run. So let everyone who calls himself a Christian know that it will cost him everything. Yet in the end, will gain so much more. To conclude, Jesus Christ is not some motivational speaker. He's not looking for the popular politician vote. Jesus is not interested in lip service. In fact, he's not really all that interested in names on a roll or numbers on a list. Jesus is interested in the heart of his people. So today he comes to the church and he says to his people, you are called to holy living discipleship. As a church, that must be our devotion, our dedication as elders in this church. First and foremost, we are devoted to the spiritual pursuit of holiness within the church as a whole. Not just numbers and names on a list, but people that have counted the cost and have given up everything in order to follow after Jesus Christ. Being our Lord means that he is our owner and our master. Unless we have this kind of commitment, this wholehearted devotion, Jesus says, you are not worthy of me and you are not my disciple. But praise God that by his Spirit we have ears to hear, and by his Spirit we might have a heart that is fully devoted, that when Christ the Good Shepherd calls, we come and we say, Lord, where else can we go? When we go to this world that is vain and passing and temporary, when you have the words of life, when you have everything that is true, lovely, and noble. So may Christ by his Spirit give us hearts that count the cost and give up everything in order to follow him. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we come before you now and we acknowledge, first and foremost, we acknowledge these difficult words. We acknowledge Jesus Christ is here saying that we have to be willing to give up everything. That the call to follow Christ is one that covers every aspect of our life. Oh Lord, may we not hold on to the things that are passing, but may we cling to Christ, acknowledging that we have been purchased. And may we offer everything that we have, everything that we are, to be a living sacrifice of praise to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.